You've eaten Gotham's wealth, its spirit, but your feast is nearly over.
This is not my home. It's an operating table. And I'm the surgeon.
Why aren't you laughing?
From this moment on, none of you are safe.
Welcome to the Batman Book Club, a podcast exploring the Dark Knight Library. I am your host, Ryan Lauer. The Batman Book Club is a proud member of the Batman Podcast Network, hosted by Batman on Film. Just go to batmanonfilm.com, click on podcasts, and you'll find the Batman Podcast Network, which has a whole list of other Bat-related shows that also like to dive into other nerdy subjects that we all love to frolic about in our free time. Batman Book Club is also on Patreon if you like what's going on with the show and you want to help support the show. Keep the generators running in the Wayne Manor study. Just go to patreon.com/thebatmanbc. Now, thank you for listening to episode 191, The Audio Adventures. You can probably see in the title that I'm not alone here, and I actually have a special guest here, someone who's very closely related to Batman, The Audio Adventures. He's the president of the Joe Kubert School. Or is it just the Kubert School?
Joe Kubert School.
There we go. There he is. You heard him. Anthony Marquis. Anthony, thank you. I know I already told you, but I'm doing it now so that it's documented. Thank you so much for sitting down and talking to me today.
No problem, Ryan. I appreciate being here. It's funny, like, there's two things you said already right off the bat that I absolutely love, you know, Batman on Film. I can't tell you how many times I used to go onto that website when I was younger as well. And I would, like, you know, I was obsessed with movies, and specifically Batman movies and Ghostbusters, really. So, like, for me, everything has really kind of come full circle, because today, you know, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire comes out, and I get to go check that out tomorrow. We're going to bring the family. And then, you know, hey, I get to sit here with you and talk about Batman, and it's going to be on Batman on Film. So, I mean, come on, this is awesome.
Going to be a good day. Yeah, I'll make sure Bill... When I send these and he posts them on, he always listens anyway, but he'll get a kick out of that off the top. Like, oh, look at that. Another guy that listens to
BLF. I mean, like, all the rumors. Like, I remember back in the day, there was, like, an early talk with Zack Snyder, like, way back when. Yeah. And he was talking about, like, his, like, perfect casting for Dark Knight Returns Batman was Sylvester Stallone. And I was like, what?
Whoa.
You know, you're on the internet checking it out. I was like, this is incredible stuff. But, like, you know, they got Christian Bale playing as Batman right now. And it's just fun to kind of see how everything has gone through the changes over the years, and just in general, right? Because it's like we're kind of like that first group of people that has aged through the internet and been able to kind of join those, like, message boards in the beginning, and now have, like, these real online communities and take part in them and be able to see how things have changed through time. So it's really cool to follow along in media that way.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's fun. Sometimes we go dipping back into the archives of, like, Batman on Film and some of those times that Bill is really involved with, you know, the Dark Knight. That was, like, the high point. He was really involved in a lot of stuff with that, and going back and reading that stuff and me thinking I can visualize. I was in college in between classes going and checking Batman on Film and be like, oh, look, there's a new picture up. There's a new this. Those were the days.
They were awesome, man. I love that stuff.
Good stuff. Before we talk about the audio adventures, since this is the first time that you're here on this podcast, I ask everybody on their first time, Anthony, what's your favorite Batman story?
Ooh, that's rough, right? Like, I don't even know if it's, like, a real, well, okay, like, if you got to pick, like, a Batman story, I don't know. I don't really have, like, a particular Batman story that I'm like, is my all-time favorite.
Okay.
There's so much that exists that it's almost, it's like picking your favorite kid, right? Like, you know, it's almost impossible. I love Dark Knight Returns. I love, I wouldn't say I love it. I just love the art in it a lot. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, the year one stuff was fantastic. But then it's also, like, I just really like certain artists more so than certain things. Like, I love the Dick Sprang stuff. I think it's so much fun and really cool. But then it's also just different moments in your life and when you kind of get latched into it. So for me, you know, when I was a kid, 1989, going to a movie theater and seeing Batman was absolutely an incredible experience, right? Yeah. You know, like, I remember walking in there And the movie theater was awesome. What they did was they took like aluminum foil and they painted it all black and they made it look like, what are those, like stalagmites or, you know, stalactites, whatever they are, hanging down from the thing. So you felt like you were actually going into the
In a
cave
cave.
to go see Batman. And when you're 5 years old and you're having that sort of an experience, it was
Oh,
pretty
wow.
incredible. So, I mean, there's, yeah, for me, that's why it's like it's more so different experiences through my
Sure.
life with Batman, more so than any story.
Gotcha. Okay. Hey, that's fair. I did hear you say Dark Knight Returns, so it's like he answered the question. But I did have somebody on here before that said, you know, Mask of the Phantasm. He's like, is that okay to say that? I'm like, that's a story. It's a Batman story. There's been a comic adaptation. There's a novel. It counts. So, I know that you said it's easy. Hopefully, I don't have multiple children someday because you just said it's like having to pick your favorite child. And I can instantly say Batman the Long Halloween's my favorite. And I'm like, oh, if I have multiple kids, if somebody says, do you have a favorite? Am I going to answer that quickly? Because that's not good. Oh, yeah, it's little
It's
Jimmy. Jimmy, he's my favorite. The other one's, eh, it's okay.
even to talk about kids, you're like, I'm gonna throw this in there
Sure.
too. What they'll always be like, which kid do you love more? Okay, that's not possible. I believe
Yeah.
that you love your children completely equally. That is not you will you're their biggest fans, right?
Yeah.
You may have things in common more with certain kids, I think, as they get older, which is normal, but you always love equally.
Okay,
If
now
that makes
see,
sense.
I can believe that. And for shame, anybody who would come to a parent and ask who's, you know, who's your
Oh, it
favorite kid?
happens. It
For
happens. Who's your favorite
shame.
kid? Which one do you like more? What? What
Yeah,
horrible person are you?
that's a bad question.
That's a bad question.
It's a very bad question. I want to move along now to I mean, it would probably be no surprise. This is why I reached out to you. I followed you on Instagram and then known as Twitter. I think you're more active on Instagram, but like seeing your art and stuff, that you know, that you're attached to Batman the Audio Adventures. And I'm not just saying this because you're on here, but it's like the reason that I asked you on here is because, like, flat out, like I loved your art in this book.
Oh,
Loved the
thanks.
look of it. I thought it was excellent. I think that the inking by is it Jesse Jesko by J-Bone?
Yeah,
Or,
J-Bone,
okay,
yeah.
J-Bone. And then Dave Stewart, like great colorist. I think he did the most recent White Knight book by Sean Murphy. I think he was the colorist on that. He's like a great colorist, and all of it just blends together so well. I don't know if you ever had, and it's great to ask like an actual artist. Like, I had such great vibes of like it felt a little Darwyn Cookish. Has he ever been an influence for you?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, like even like working with Jay, we all kind of have more of an animated approach to our work and what we
Yeah.
like to do. And and my influences too from like Bruce Timm, but then Alex Toth, and I love Mazzucchelli,
Yeah.
and Ching Lines is absolutely incredible. If you're not familiar with that,
No,
like
I'm
definitely
not.
look him up. He's awesome, awesome. But I mean, there's just so many different folks, like, right? And then, like,
Yeah.
it's not even just like the more open styles. Then you start getting into, like, I love Joe Kubert. I love studying him. I love Andy. I love Lee Weeks. There's a bunch of different folks. And, there's a lot of inspiration actually in the pages I take from Lee. He's a really great friend of mine. And we always would talk about art and different things that we could do. And I apply it into the pages as well. But it's also fun when you're drawing a book. From you do like your preliminary work and your sketches and everything, right? But then once you start drawing your pages, when you start looking at, well, how did the book look on like page six? By the time you get to issue seven and it's page 16, how have you grown? How has the story really developed? And there are changes throughout, and you start learning a lot more about the characters and kind of let them kind of come through it a little bit more. So it's fun, and I learned a lot on the series, and it was fun to play with it and really develop it even more so.
Yeah. And before we get into like the development, I think that's a valid thing to hear like from you say of all these influences, but it's your own too, you know. It's like as you're dropping the names of Bruce Timm, because I was even going to say the book felt very Batman the Animated Series in the sense of like it's, yeah, sure, it's animated and cartoon, but it's not like childish eye rolly or anything. It's
No,
still
not
to
at
a
all.
level of mature and serious, but not like going the way of ultra violent, ultra mature, anything. It's like this very cool line that it toes throughout that's fun, but then also serious and a little like, oh, what's going to happen next? And so I think it's like a great vibe that does go hand in hand with like the podcast, you know, that it,
yeah,
that it went with too. So
I give a lot of the credit to that too, as well, to the writer, Dennis McNichols, mm-hmm. who is a fantastic collaborator. I loved working with him. He was fantastic. And one of our earlier conversations was, we were actually looking at the artwork up from the trading cards from the Batman 66 show, if you've ever seen those. Nice. Like, they're painted cards. And I believe they were actually done by the same people that did Mars Attacks. And we love that, right? We were looking at, we're like, this is a really cool looking stuff. This is super unique and different. And we were like, we kind of want to nail like this sort of a vibe of like Batman 66, but if Quentin Tarantino got his hands on it. And I love that. I thought that was such like a fun way of kind of thinking about it and just building the world up and wanting it to be kind of big and crazy. And, you know, there's a sequence in there where Robin has to go to like a rundown ice skating rink because they're keeping like a woolly mammoth on ice that has these like mushrooms growing on them. And we were like, all right, what does that look like? And I got to do like this big retro-y looking sort of logo for it. And then I also wanted it to have like these gigantic polar bears out front that are like 60 feet tall and just, you know, just play around. And we just got to really explore all these sort of things and just make it really serious, but really big and fun at the same time.
Yeah. Which I think it shows like through and through and in both the story, because, you know, like story always matters. It always starts with story. And I think that, McNicholas, he writes a fun story, which also I think he was the writer and showrunner of the podcast series,
He was the director of the director, audio show as well.
So he knows this vision that he's got. And then it's like, it seems like he found the right people to bring a visual presence to it too, which is really cool. How did the development of it start? Because I think I was trying to look up the timeline of it. It looked like the podcast launched in September of 2021. And then that 80 page special was like the following month. And you had, which was compiled of a bunch of different stories. And you had like the second one, like the opening was with Jack Ryder. And then you had like the second story, I think.
So the Jack Ryder thing is kind of like a, runs through that issue, right? Mm-hmm. Because even on the audio show, he's kind of like, he introduces you to the show, kind of gets you going. And so those were really short, like I think a page to two page sequences. And then we kind of go into the individual stories. And I had done the main Batman one within that issue. But prior to that, it was really funny. I was actually driving home from the school and I got this email and a really funny subject line from my editor, and it was like, interested in work. And that was my and I'm like, what does that mean? Like, who's interested in work? I don't quite understand this. Is this a question? Is this a statement? What's happening here? And I opened it up and it was kind of vague about what exactly it was. They were looking for some character designs at first, and so we started working up some initial drawings and kind of concepts and sending in some different work that we had done. And then we started doing the character images that they used on season one that you'll see like as the card art, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And those are literally just done as character designs. They weren't, we didn't have any idea that that's what they were going to be used for or anything like that. But that was for myself, Jay to ink, and for Dave to color. And those were so much fun doing. I loved working on those because we got to really design these characters to be however we really envisioned them to be. You know, there wasn't a lot of mandates or anything. It was just, hey man, whatever you think these characters look like, go for it, put it down, and you know, we'll roll with it. So it was a lot of fun.
These are the ones that are included in the back of the trade paperback?
Yeah, right? That's it. So now it's funny with that Batman, right? I think I've shared this online. Now, Batman is the only one that we got a note on. And originally, I wanted him to have very similar to the Adam West symbol on his chest. And
a yellow oval?
Yellow, like oval, yellow oval, but with literally like the Adam West style Batman symbol in there. And they were like, oh, well, we don't want to have the yellow symbol. And I was like, all right. So I took out the yellow and I kept just the Adam West black bat on there. And then they said, no, we don't want that sort of a bat on there. And I was like, all right. So then I just changed it to the one that we wound up going with. But everything else, I mean, I'm trying to think. Robin was, you know, real easy.
Yeah,
Joker was actually the most fun because
hold him up for you.
So the way that we envisioned Joker, just so you know, and he's only in, I think, one page of the actual book. He's on page one, I think, which is also like the origin of Harley Quinn right there. But the way that we envisioned the Joker was, I thought of when he used to show up on Scooby-Doo, and he also looked like a paper doll in like a weird way. So my thinking of the Joker is like, he's like 6'6", you know, he's extremely tall, very, very thin. Yeah. And he almost moves like on hinges. And it's just really creepy when you start thinking about this. Like, you know, I had this weird visual of him just like some little kid seeing a clown, and they, you know, they see the Joker, but they don't know who he is. And, you know, just imagine some little kid like wandering over to this guy that's super tall.
Yeah.
And then, you know, this Joker, like from like the hips, somehow just continues to like bend like straight down, like right into your face, just smiling. And I was like, man, that's a weird thing to kind of play around with.
I was going to say, it's like weird, but creepy. And like, I don't know. I can visualize it as you're sitting there doing that. Even I'm just like the bend. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's.
And, you know, it's just a constant smile, and his hair. I wanted to have like a big kind of points popping up on the edges, just because it makes him look almost like horns. So he's kind of like, you know, just evil, an evil, evil clown.
Yeah. And like, I think we just mentioned, like, you go to Max now to pull up the podcast. It's like, these are some of these I just compared, and looking at the Robin, like it is literally the Robin that's in this trade paperback is the Robin that pops up on the, on the podcast.
Same thing with all of them. They use all of them. Yeah.
That's great. I liked, was it your idea for the Catwoman suit?
That's something that Dennis and I talked about. We really, again, I think if you take a look at those 66 cards, when you look at the Catwoman costume, I believe it's actually that costume. It's not even like the ones that...
the black suit, leather suit.
Yeah, I don't think that they had the black suit on the cards. I think she's actually in that, but... Dennis and I, if I remember correctly, were chatting about it, and we were like, we kind of want to hit that Silver Age look. And if I remember correctly, Kurt Schaffenberger was famous for doing like Captain Marvel or Shazam nowadays, and for doing Superman's girlfriend, Lois Lane. I believe he's the artist that actually did the original Silver Age Catwoman design. Nice. And so it was fun to kind of pull from that. And he was also a local artist where I grew up. So he was an older man at that point in time. So I would get to see him. So it was also kind of fun just to pay homage to that, you know?
Yeah. I think there's such in the, like for us, you know, longtime fans and comic fans and stuff too, there's such an affinity with that costume for Catwoman. She's got a lot of great costumes over the year, like in live action, animation and comics, but there's just something about like that one definitely that has, I don't know, like such an affinity to it. It feels classic, but like this does not feel like an old story. It can feel very contemporary, but that suit doesn't feel out of place for it either.
I remember like, and you know, I think she only shows up for like a panel in the book. It's really, you know, a Batman fighting ninjas story, which is really cool. But
yeah,
if I remember correctly, there was a design that I did. I got to find this. Now it's going to bother me. I got to go look in my studio.
My bad.
no, it's cool. I remember I did at one point, she was in a sort of like jumpsuit, you know, costume that was black, but she had like a belt, I think if I remember correctly. And I wanted to create a Catwoman symbol, like kind of like, you know, Batman's got his bat symbol. She had a Catwoman symbol, but it wasn't like on her chest or anything like that. It was like on the belt, but it was very prominent, and it was going to kind of be her logo to play around with.
You can, and I mean, you can see it right here when you look closer at her, like on the buckle. It seems like on the buckle is like a cat.
Oh, do I have it on there?
Yeah, yeah, you do. Yeah, I'll go close again for you. I'm like,
yeah, yeah, that's the symbol. You did yeah, it. Yeah, yeah. So,
mission accomplished.
And I was trying to find out ways of like how to incorporate it, or just talking about character designs really quick one more time. If you take a look at Commissioner Gordon, one of my favorite things that I did was I turned his mustache into a bat symbol. So it's on whenever
I didn't notice that.
Whenever you look at Commissioner Gordon, his mustache is a bat symbol. So
very nice. Yeah. Very nice. I noticed that in the back they don't include a scarecrow design. And scarecrow is one of my favorites.
I don't think that we actually ever did a scarecrow final design. And then even for Scarecrow's kind of pseudo sidekick, I believe her name was Autumn. We went through so many different designs that we did of her. And I don't think that it's featured in the book. Or Miss Tuesday.
Miss Tuesday.
We worked on a bunch of those. There's a ton of Miss Tuesday designs. And that was the one that we wound up going with. She also has a mask that she does, that she can wear. I don't think that it was pictured in the book, but yeah, there's like multiple versions of certain characters. Most of them we were able to kind of hit like right out of the gate, but some of the other ones we really played around with to see what worked best.
Now, this would have been your designs. So a lot of these designs were, let me step back here. So when did the 7-issue series come about and you got approached about doing that?
After all the designs.
Right after all the designs, okay.
This was like it was a long amount of work, a long time. And, you know, so we did that and then we did the one shot and then, you know, we were kind of like, oh, okay, cool, cool, cool. And then there was rumors, you know, not rumors, but like we just started all kind of talking that there might be a chance that it would go to like a regular series and we wound up doing it. So then that came to be. And then I remember at that point in time, you know, because I'm at the school and my wife and I run a lot of different things at the school. She's the director and the president. So I have to be involved very, very much on the regular every day. And we were running an intensive in Florida. So I was having to like fly down to Florida and coming back up and just running around like a crazy person and doing the series at the same time. Yeah. And it was cool because Klaus Janson's a good friend of mine as well.
Nice.
And of course, you know, Dark Knight, like you can't think of it without Klaus. And I got to show him the pages and we were talking just Batman in general. And he was just such a great guy to kind of bounce ideas off of and you know, just give me some extra guidance and whatnot. So,
all right,
lovely individual too.
You've done some name dropping so far. Do you ever pinch yourself? Do you ever like pinch yourself a little bit of kind of like where you're at in your position? And it's like, and you're talking to Klaus Janson, someone who is a part of Dark Knight Returns, you know, very influential on you, something that you loved as a kid, and meeting people like that, are you kind of like, oh my God, or is that kind of worn off by now?
I still get a big kick out of it, but it's funny. It's like, I still feel like I'm a kid.
Yeah.
Like dealing with it all, but like I'm a grown man.
That's what we tell ourselves was like, know, I'm right? a grown like, man.
But it's so weird. It's like, you know, I'm 40 years old. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like I'm 40 years old. I've been doing this, you know, professionally since I came to the school and graduated. I started working, you know, the day after I left. I was actually working while I was at the school. Andy is one of my best friends. You know, I love talking with him. Who's also done incredible amounts of Batman work and is just an incredible mentor, but friend, you know, on top of it. And I think even maybe as a student, you don't realize how lucky you are when you're here, and you kind of take it for granted that you're surrounded by these absolutely incredible, legendary people, but you don't really notice it as much, I think, because you don't care about so much. You appreciate all the incredible work that they've all done, but they're all genuinely good people that
Yeah, that's
you're
great.
just like, wow, these, they're my friend,
Yeah.
and I love being around them, and I just love seeing how their lives are going and what's new, and you root for them and you just want everyone to do well. And so it's like, yeah, I mean, sometimes I'll sit back and I kind of pinch myself, but they also don't have ego either.
Yeah.
So sometimes I like to remind them that who they are, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, hey man, you ever
Yeah.
think about this and how cool that is? And they appreciate it so much. And we all do. We love, I mean, you got to realize we're all doing something that we've loved doing since we were children, and we get paid
Yeah.
for it.
Crazy.
Like, I get to draw Batman. I just did Jimmy Olsen, and then I have another epic dream project coming up, and it's awesome. You know what
Yeah.
I mean? It doesn't get better than that. So I love what I do. It's super appreciated, and I'm extremely thankful of it every day.
Yeah. I mean, I slightly know that feeling for some of, and it's not about me, but like I was actually just having that conversation with work like yesterday with somebody talking about with our work and things that we were doing. And I'm like, hold on a second. Let's drink this in. We're getting paid
Yeah.
to talk about what we're talking about. Like, how freaking cool is that? So I can imagine as you're sitting there and, instructing and guiding with art and working on art yourself, and it's Batman. You're drawing
Yeah.
Batman, like, in its cool cape and, talking to Commissioner Gordon. It's like, somebody's paying me for this. This is insane. This is crazy. But
It's like you don't want to ever
awesome.
say it, but you're like, I would literally do this for free. You know what
Yeah,
I
I'll
mean?
cut that
Like,
out. I'll cut that out. You
yeah.
never said that. Okay.
But it's like, and then you start thinking too, it's like, I literally get to travel. I get to travel all over the place and meet different people. Or, I was just having this conversation, like, I love Superman. Superman, sorry to say this to the Batman fans, but Superman's my favorite character.
Okay, that's all right. It's all
And
right.
I was at Cincinnati. In Cincinnati, they have a wonderful show out there. And I was in the green room, and I got to chat with Christopher Lloyd, and then all of a sudden, Brandon Routh like was hanging out,
Wow.
and I talked with him for like half an hour, and I'd see him throughout the weekend. A super nice guy. And the thing is when you meet Brandon Routh, I'm just letting you know that guy is Superman. Like
Yeah. Yeah.
he's tall, he looks like Superman, and when he talks to you, he talks to you like
Talks like
Superman.
Superman.
And it was really, really cool. So, but yeah, I mean, it's been an awesome journey so far, and I hope I can just keep riding forever,
Yeah. So as you, I mean, as you touched upon of there's a lot going on as the 7-issue series, you're kind of, did you feel overwhelmed or panicked, or were you more excited about like, oh yeah, I've got this?
Yeah, I mean, like sometimes, look, is it difficult at times? Yes,
Yeah. Especially with all the other stuff that you mentioned you were doing at the time too, and you were
Well,
busy.
just even being an artist, right? Like,
Yeah.
look, is it the best thing in the world? Yes, I love it. Can it be difficult at times? For sure. You hit like walls, or you don't want to be repetitive, and you're trying to find ways to make sure that the story is very clear. And that's my job, is really to be able to present the reader a lovely map of enjoyment, right? Like,
Yeah.
and I don't want you falling off or being lost, and it's up to me to make sure that it's really clear and easy to follow. That's the point of a comic artist, is to tell the story visually clearly. And so you're always working really, really hard at that. It's extremely mentally taxing. You will be exhausted. For anybody that's interested and wants to do this professionally, you get tired from it. It's a lot harder than you think. And having to strap yourself to a seat and draw all day, and miss out sometimes on like personal
Yeah.
events and things like that, it's hard, man. It takes a toll on you, but it's worth it in the end.
So with the process, as you're sitting and drawing these panels, constructing this story for us to look at. So when you complete it, I guess like when you complete a page, do you send it to Dennis for approval, and then he moves it on to J-Bone to ink, and then to Dave? Is there any input? Like, is it a community kind of effort? Let's just take one page. How is one page the process?
I wish I would have known. I would have actually, Give me
Yeah, no, I'll give you 30 seconds. You know I'll fill the mic. I'll sing. Da 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 da.
Let's see here. Let me see if I got it with
go
me.
Straight in the back. And this is why there's always a possibility that we'll post the video. Because Anthony's going to pull out something cool.
Oh, you know what? You lucked out. I was just using this as a as an example for one of the classes I teach. And I swear this was not planned. This is perfect. Let me see what I got here. Okay. There's that. This. See, we got the others. Yep. Maybe I might even have the script that I can throw.
Oh my gosh.
So let me do one more check.
Because I'm uber nerd and I totally love, I'm a sucker for extras. I love seeing script process, development of, you know, interviews where the writer artist talking about, you know, development of page and this and that. And there is, I think, so your character designs were the only thing, I think, yeah, those are the only thing that were included in the extras in the Audio Adventures trade paperback.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that goes into it. All right, so I don't have the No, I don't. Okay. So anyway, I'll get a script from Dennis. You know, the editor, everybody's, I like to keep everybody all in the same chain because I do think it's very collaborative, comic books. And so what we do is we keep everybody all together. And so I'll get an email and it'll have the script and you kind of get your deadlines and whatnot from it. And I like to read it through. And then a lot of times what I'll do is I'll do like little doodles on the script itself. Then from there, what I do are these roughs. And, you know, I do them to size on these. Well, not on the size, but basically to scale.
Wow.
So this is literally the rough for it. This isn't a pencil page. This is just so this way I can figure out what it is that I'm doing, and you can that's see.
Your, and that's the first page from the 80 page, or your first page. Ta-da!
Yep. So
wow.
I do my rough drawing. You know, I figure it all out first, tiny, and then I go, I do my drawing like this. So then there's like a page two, whatever, Batman driving around. And I actually wind up changing the shot because I didn't like it. Then I'll go to doing pencils. But what you don't see is a lot of times what I do is I'll take that rough and then I blow that up to 11 by 17. It's like a 9 by 14 image area, which is actually what you draw your pages within. The 10 by 15 is like the actual comic page, but we're just getting technical and I don't want to bore people with numbers.
No, so, this is the audience that likes to know that stuff that you just said.
So after I take the rough, I blow it up and then I take like a sheet of tracing paper and I lay it on top and I'll actually go back in and I will draw more detail on top, mark off maybe where I want things to be kind of placed in with black. Make any fine tuning that I need to the storytelling there. And then from there, then I then light box that page through. And for some reason I drew these pages in blue and these are just small sort of printouts. And this is where everything is tight. I make sure all the information is there, all the details in special effects, everything that you need is there at this point. And then from that point, it goes to Jay because he gets it in the email as well. I make sure everybody's on the same page. So this way nobody can say they didn't see anything.
Yeah.
All right. And then he comes in and he does his incredible work. And you can see he added in like, you know, screen tone effects and, you know, he just helps bring it so much to life.
When that, when that gets sent to you, when you see that, I know you've said, you know, collaborative a couple of times already. Do you get to give feedback on like, hey, what if, or is it like, nope, your input in a sense is done or you don't even need to.
I mean, if I have really had like a note, like the thing is I've been working with Jay, since like 2015 now. around there, maybe a little bit sooner than that. I think 2015 was, I think one of our first covers that we ever did was a Doc Savage Phantom crossover that wound up getting canceled while we were doing the covers. They were actually, they didn't actually have the approvals to do it because the Phantom and Doc Savage are actually owned by two completely different licensors. So that wound up getting canceled over at Dynamite. And then, but we've been working ever since. So also I like to hide Easter eggs throughout the pages. So it's funny. I just noticed this as I was looking at it. But on the train, like I had drawn these in and Jay was kind enough to make sure to keep them in there. Now this one says 420. Now it's not because of what you guys think.
Yeah, all right. Okay.
It's my son's birthday. Okay. So okay. I put my son's birthday on there. And then over here underneath this little flag, it says 11/11 and that's my daughter's birthday. So nice. I like to put that kind of stuff in there.
We'll get to some Easter eggs here in a moment. Yeah.
And then I swear I'll make this, I'll get quicker. I know. No, I told you, Ryan, I talk a lot, man.
It's okay. That's a great guess then.
And then as we go forward, then we go straight into the color and the lettering. Ugh. And that's when Dave just brings it to life. And,
awesome.
It was so much fun. So that's pretty much how the page comes together one after another throughout the entire thing. And, it's a lot of fun. It's really cool to see everybody bring in some awesome work and put it all together. And we all kind of geek out together in the email threads. And it's great.
Is it usually by page by page process, or is it like you deliver a whole? Well, I don't. Let me just stop there then. Is it usually page by page, like what you just showed me? That's how it is. And how long does that roughly take?
It could take like a day, 2 days per page. Okay. Like at one point, like we kind of got delayed because I was dealing with a bunch of stuff, like in terms of work and trying to do with a, you know, make sure everything was good. So it slowed us up a little bit. So, you know, you kind of want to do like 2 days a page, you know, if you can, a day a page is brilliant. You know, some guys can move really, really fast. I just can't, I just don't have the bandwidth to be able to do that. So, but like when I was hitting like a really good stride, I'd say like, you know, a day and a half, 2 days a page, and you can kind of keep those emails coming in. And then this way, everybody can kind of work right behind you and get it all wrapped up.
Nice. So, okay, you just gave some Easter eggs. And actually, that's kind of what spawned me even, you know, rolling the dice and reaching out to you, was because I'd kind of wondered anyway. I'm like, I wonder if Anthony, I just wonder if he would do podcasts. But I was reading the trade paperback. And I think I put it out on Instagram, something, you know, just tagged you in it or whatever, that I was rereading it or something. And you were like, hey, there's a lot of Easter eggs in there.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh boy. So then I started to look like closer. And then I was just like, I don't know. I feel like I'm not going to get them. And then it got me to like reach out to you, like DM you or whatever. And that's how, and then eventually this, here we are now. But with me looking closely, I know I missed a lot. I don't know your kids' birthdays. I'll admit that. So I missed those two.
Yeah, you do. I've given you that information. You'll find them now throughout the entire book. Yeah.
I also am a November birthday kid. So props to your daughter for that. So, I mean, I think what I saw in some spots were like nods to year one. Or maybe, what do you want to say? Positions of Batman that reminded me of year one. I don't know how much of that played for you. I saw that you actually put it, I remember you had the sword dipping in was the T2 nod, which I'd never even thought about upon reading it, and then backtracking it to that. I'm like, oh my gosh. And it's the Arnold's thumb up.
Yeah. It's totally his thumb up. Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah, no, it wasn't like the positioning of Batman stuff. That wasn't really like an homage at all. It's just, you know, when you draw Batman standing in front of fire, there's really not so much you can do, especially if he's backlit or, you know, so it's what Batman's going to look like. Uh-huh. Or, you know, if he's climbing, Batman looks like that when he climbs. So, but in terms of like Easter eggs, like, let me see here if I can really remember a bunch.
Well, I just flipped to this and the positioning of Batman and Killer Croc.
Oh, yeah, no, that's not even. Yeah, no, that was just a fun drawing. That was cool. Actually, you know, I did that page so quick because I needed to get that page done. Like, I think I did like two or three pages in a day, that one, because I was so far like behind and I needed to get that wrapped up ASAP. And I was like, all right, man, I hate the way this looks. I got to just turn it in.
Okay. I want to show you, though, and see if you can if you could see if my iPad will hurry up and load it. If you can see how, so there's Batman 407.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I can see what you're saying there, yeah. But no, so, yeah, that
was this was me trying to create something, I think, in that regard. And I'm like, well, I should ask him about that. Maybe that was it. And I thought that there was another, there's a panel. It's also the same issue. Let's see if I find it. But in year one, where Batman says, you've eaten Gotham's wealth. Yeah, there we go. Very much like that in year one. But then I was like, maybe I'll just ask the man himself.
Like that one, I wasn't really thinking much about that kind of stuff. More so the Easter eggs are, I'm trying to think, like, if you, let's see, if you're in, there's like funny things in there that at least I found to be funny. Because it's also, there's a tinge of humor to it all too, you know, right? Like there is comedy within the book. So I'm trying to remember, is it in the first issue? Yeah, so Clark Kent and Lois Lane show up in the background in the first issue. Not the one shot. It's in issue one, but I think Dave colored her hair blonde. But it's Clark and Lois in the background behind the police line when Batman and Commissioner Gordon are like kneeling looking at the details of the crime scene.
Got it. Yep, there we go. Yeah.
Yep. So there's Clark and Lois right there. Then there's in the background. So they're in like that, the market where they're selling like bad stuff. And I thought it would just be really funny, like to have, I guess it's okay to say it's funny. Like it is funny visually, like just bags of like cocaine, like stacked up. And it says like, do not touch, no free samples. And I was sitting there like, you know, look, when you're drawing, you're by yourself and like, you know, it'll be late at night and you're putting little drawings in there that aren't even in the script. And I just was like giggling as I'm drawing it because I'm just having a good time, you know.
That's why you have other people that chime in too, be like, hey, I don't think we can do this, but then like, yeah, go for it.
That's why there's editors to stop people like me from doing things. And who else? There's at one point Killer Croc is in the sewer and his backpack is, well, not backpack, but he's like kind of loaded with a bunch of stuff all on his back. And I think there's an Action Comics number one. There's a Joe Kubert school magazine, I think there. I know there's multiple times that I show up throughout the issue.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. In a certain issue or the whole book? Or like the whole
throughout series? Different issues. I'm kind of scattered through. A lot of times I'll throw a JKS for Joe Kubert School like sweatshirt on and I'll be like in the background. My son's wearing a Ghostbusters t-shirt in the background. Nice. In a few of them.
Now is this you? Kids. Or is it someone else?
Oh, so that's Mark not... with Salvage. Yeah, that's my fake Salvage place in Gotham. So
you put that in there?
Yeah.
That was you?
Okay. Yeah. Nice. And then let's see what else we've got. There's so many like little things you're just kind of playing around with. I thought of Stand By Me when I did that scene because there's a great sequence. I don't know if you have ever seen Stand By Me where they have to like
so
go through like
ago.
A junkyard and that's totally what I thought of for that. Killer Croc, somebody told me he looks like a Muppet. So once I heard that, I just kind of doubled down and turned him into a giant Muppet running around. And I was like, that's brilliant. I would love to see Jim Henson create a Killer Croc costume.
Yeah.
And, you know, or Henson Company create a Killer Croc costume.
Now I'm going to be on the hunt for you, though. I'm going to read this again and look for...
Just look for bald people, and, you know, you'll be all right.
Well, I just came across Hugo Strange. I don't think that was you.
No. That was a fun sequence, though. I wanted that to be like a 1940s, 50s horror film sort of a thing going for it.
Universal Monsters sort of vibe, if you will, just in color. But
I think Killer Croc's little kid outfit I modeled off of Forrest Gump when he was like a little kid running with like, you know, the braces on his legs. I'm just kind of trying to go back now and, you know, trying to remember
Yeah.
everything.
What is this, 2 years later that I'm asking you of, like, hey, do you remember 2 years ago when you drew when you
I
drew
think
this?
there's the Daily Planet is on one of the pages, and I did a Cape Wonder Stun City, and it has like Superman, like very, very tiny flying on it. So we established that Superman exists in the Audio Adventures world.
Yeah.
Oh
Very
my
cool.
goodness. Yeah, there's so many different little things in there.
Are they all caught by, as you're going through this process of passing it along to J-Bone and Dave, are there ever comments
Oh
of like,
no,
I see what
nobody
you did,
knows.
or everybody's just
Nobody
too
knows.
busy, inking and
I think
coloring?
this is the most I've ever talked about it, of being like, oh yeah, you could find this thing in there and that and this and blah 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 blah.
Heard
Again,
it
like,
here
you know, even the
first.
simple things like making Commissioner Gordon's mustache into the bat
Yeah.
symbol, or you know, the Joker's hair is supposed to be a little bit more like, you know, like he's like a devil kind of little guy running around, and the
Is it hard to keep track
Penguin.
of some of that for like, so Joker was just the first page, but Gordon
Yeah.
shows up throughout that you distinctly that you made notes of like, I have to remember that his
Oh no.
mustache, it's not that hard to
It's
keep track
easy.
of.
Just like once, you know, once you have it kind of in your head, you just remember and just do it, you know. Robin was great. I'm trying to think if we had anything there. Oh, I know at one point one of the trucks in the background was Optimus Prime. I don't know if I kept that in there or not, but it was the when he was the truck, but it is clearly like the truck from Transformers, you know, I had thrown in there. Or it's not clearly, because you know, I don't need lawyers and everything else, you know. So none of this is official, okay? None of this is official.
There's a red and blue truck in one of your shots. That's what you're saying, right? Just two very
I'm,
commonly
you know what?
used
It's just,
colors for
you
a
know,
truck.
Superman themed truck.
There you
It
go.
was
That's what
incredible.
it is. Were you a fan of the Ninja Turtles?
Oh yeah, for sure. Oh yeah, so the Ghostbusters do show up in the issue. So there's the Marshmallow Men when Killer Croc is kind of hallucinating, and we couldn't Dennis knows how much I love Ghostbusters, and he's from Saturday Night Live as well. And, you know, that's where those guys started. And so he's like, oh, I want you to do your own sort of trippy Marshmallow Men because, you know, Killer Croc's hallucinating the whole time. And I was like, all right, yeah, sure. So there's these guys that show up, and the one guy is, it's pretty much Egon. And he even has like a sort of PKE meter. But I had to change it from being exactly a PKE meter into something else that he's using to like gauge where these people are. So yeah,
Nice.
I mean,
I'm on that
like I
page
said,
now.
it's
Ta-da.
loaded with all sorts of things going on in there. Yeah.
But I mean, I feel like it'd be way too blunt and not subtle to have the Ninja Turtles pop in the sewer somewhere. It'd be way too obvious what's going on here. But have
You
you ever
know, I
drawn
wish I
them?
would have thought about it. I could have put like little turtle, like four turtles,
Just
just like wandering around
all
with like
right.
a rat on his back. Like, you
Note
know, just like sitting on it. And I would have been totally cool with that. I would have loved that.
note that for whatever your next project is, if there's anything in a
Yes.
sewer, you just got four
Yeah.
turtles and a rat on the back. Now I've got the Killer Croc page I just saw, and yeah, I see a license plate says JLA Weeks Coffee.
Oh yeah, Weeks Coffee is actually something I did for Lee. I tossed that in there. JLA
Awesome.
does actually not mean Justice League of America.
Oh,
It
okay.
means that's actually for my kids and my wife. So it's Jackie, Liam, and Avery. But you know, people could think Justice League of America as well.
Yep. But now
Yeah.
it's changed. You change things forever, as
That's
Ledger's
right.
Joker says. Because yeah, can't help it. I gotta ask. Have you ever drawn the Ninja Turtles? Not like in a book, but like professionally, whether for anything yet.
I think we d I haven't drawn it. I haven't done Ninja Turtles.
I'd like to see you do Ninja Turtles.
I think we did. I forget the name of the clothing company. I know we did a bunch. I know we did Ninja Turtles for that. There was like a few of us that did it. that they turn into like shirts. Is it Roosevelt's? Is that what it's called? RSVLTS?
Yes. Yeah. I always thought it was results, but no. Then I clicked longer or clicked more into it and saw Roosevelt's. But yeah, they've got some cool stuff.
So I'm 99% sure that we did Ninja Turtles for them. At one point, one of the folks here at the school did artwork for doing an office clothing and some other things. When I was like, you know, we'd all kind of work on it together. But those are more kind of by committee. It wasn't just me. But and they had to be really spot on to the models that they wanted. So, but yeah, I would love to do something with Ninja Turtles. That'd be so much fun. And then just in terms of baby doll,
mm-hmm.
I want to throw this at you as well.
Sure.
If you go through that issue, like there's a really nice sequence where her and Killer Croc are sitting on the edge of like a sewer.
Mm-hmm.
And if you notice, because baby doll is fake, she's not real. It's a figment of his imagination. She does not cast any shadow at all. And he does. And so then even like when he's holding her hand, walking through the sewer before it blows up,
mm-hmm.
He's treading water. But if you look behind her, there's no water being tread.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's a lot of like little things that I was basically telling everybody like, hey, you know, hey, look, this character is fake throughout the entire thing. And when you go back and take a peek at it again, you're like, oh, my God, it was there the whole time.
Now you've changed things again forever. Oh, fun notes. I want to respect your time, so I want to get to wrapping it up, but I think you've commented on it before. You can interpret favorite or like one of your most memorable, however you want to interpret this, but mm-hmm. like things to draw in this. Like what was like your favorite or one of your favorites, most memorable things to draw?
The first I would say like is, you know, there's the cool shot of Batman up on like the edge. You know, everybody wants to draw the cool Batman shot looking down. But actually my favorite thing that I drew, or one of the favorite, there's a few, but I think that was just really cool. So it's going to be in issue one. That was like a really cool moment. Was there's a 1, 2, 3, 4 page sequence where it's Batman driving down the highway and he's talking with Robin in the Batcave. And so that was really fun to draw Robin right there, because it was just in the script, it was described as Robin sitting at the Bat computer. Mm-hmm. And I got to be like, no little kid is just sitting at the Bat computer. I was like, that dude is eating food nonstop. Alfred's in the back being like, what the heck's going on here? You got the dinosaur. Then, you know, the bad guys show up, who were fun to draw. I totally wanted to do like my own sort of Foot Clan design for them and whatnot, and play around with just kind of what I imagined scary looking ninjas would look like. And also their hair is totally a love letter to Christopher Walken's hair in Batman Returns. So
that's Max Schreck hair.
Max Schreck hair, really big Max Schreck awesome. Hair, because that stuff was beautiful. I love Christopher Walken's hair in that.
Oh, I can see it actually in that page, like the backside of this dude, right? Yeah, right here. I can totally see Max Schreck in that. That's awesome.
And then, you know, Batman has to flip the Batmobile over, and that was really cool to play with. And then there's the double page spread of Batman just doing an awesome iconic shot. Oh, that's a really cool note. So I'm also trying to tell people that Robin is from the circus, because if you take a look at the seal that it says the name of the circus right there.
Yep.
On that thing. If you notice, the seal is actually Robin's logo backwards. It's just the letter R turned around inside of the circle.
Anthony.
Yeah. And I figured out how to turn the seal, you know, take a letter R and turn it into a seal.
And I think you can see it even more in the bottom of that page with Batman as he kind of breaks up to make it more of like a backwards R. So
I'm literally telling people it's the letter R. You know, Robin is from Haley's Circus. Yeah.
Wow. What a revelation. Fantastic. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. I want to, like, I could keep talking to you, but you're a busy man, as you've said. So I want to let you go. But thanks again for sitting down and talking to me. I really appreciate it. This was a lot of fun.
It was great a lot of fun. And look, any other questions or any other kind of cool little pop-ups? Like, I also have my comic shop shows up in the last issue. There's all sorts.
Cool.
Like, there's all sorts of crazy things, man. Like, I think my mom shows up. I put like random teachers, like, you know, there's some other, like, I think they have some celebrity things thrown in there, all sorts of just wild stuff. Cause you got to keep yourself having fun, man. You
know? Yeah, so, absolutely.
But this, speaking of fun, this was fun. And hey, I appreciate you having me do this. So hopefully we can do it again sometime.
Oh, I'd love to anytime. I say that to guests that come on here. I'm just saying, like, just because I haven't asked doesn't mean you're not invited. It's I don't want to annoy you and bug you. So I try to not come on too strong. So anytime you want to, we can pick up any Batman book that you'd like. But like really quickly, like what's next for you that we can keep an eye out for?
It's a secret.
Okay.
So
we should follow your social media.
But I am the king of Easter eggs. So I actually laid some Easter eggs while we were talking right now too. So like, you know, if you go back and listen, make sure you tell people to go back and listen again.
I'm not good at Easter egg hunts at all. So I think that's what we figured out.
Just make sure you guys go back, give it another listen three times at least. And you should be able to pick up what the next project is. And I think you guys will really dig it. It's going to be a lot of fun. And, we'll take it from there. But yeah, look, anytime. I would love to do some more.
Time period, roughly, we could see this stuff later this year? Sooner rather than later?
Yes.
Okay.
It should be later this year. So I'm very excited about that. So
Because let's be serious. I'm not going to figure it out. I'll go back and listen to this four times. Like, I don't know.
I'll tell you after you hit stop on the recording.
Button, then I'm sworn to secrecy. Let's plug it away where people can follow you for when this stuff becomes public. I saw that you're on Twitter/X, but I think you're a lot more active on Instagram now.
Even beforehand, I never liked Twitter. It's just clunky for me and it's not overly enjoyable. And you know what? I just like going on Instagram and, you know, my Facebook, but
it's happier.
If you want to give me a follow, Anthony Marquisart on Instagram. Be sure to follow the Joe Kubert School. If you guys want to learn how to draw comics and do this professionally, this is the school to go to. You know, we have an incredible alumni list and we've been open close to 50 years now, pumping out some of the best artists in the industry, and not just in comics, but also in animation and film and advertising and graphic design. So be sure to check out kubertschool.edu. We have an open house coming up on April 15th. So be sure to come on out if you can.
Tax and then day. Also, hey, celebrate tax day. Go to the open house.
They're coming out to the school.
Yeah.
And then, hey, look, you got to get comics from somewhere. So what better place than from my own comic shop, Dewey's Comic City, over in Madison, New Jersey. And we have tons of original art on display in there as well. Oh, cool. We also teach classes there on top of it all. So we like to keep things interesting over here.
Follow them on Instagram, because that's where I've seen some of the stuff. You're posting of Dewey's opening and getting that ready and stuff like that. Really cool. Wish I lived closer. If you want to follow the Batman Book Club, make this quick, you can do that on that hell site, Twitter/X, and Instagram at the Batman BC. Latest episode drops, upcoming episodes. Right now, we're going to be starting the bracket challenge for this year. So we need people to go and help vote to see which Batman cover they think is the best. And that's going to be a little heated, I think. Make sure to subscribe to the Batman Book Club YouTube channel, where hopefully I'll have this video up so you can see Anthony as he shows off his page, glorious page of art and the process.
And this beard, look at that.
And see the beard. Yes, you can see the beard. Also, if you want to support the show, help support the show, there's a variety of ways you can do it. Like I said at the top, patreon.com/thebatmanbc. Go to tpublic.com, type in TBBC, where there's some cool things you can pick up that have the logo on there. But if you want to support the show and you don't want to spend any money at all, it's 100% A-OK. The easiest, quickest, most impactful thing you can do is rate and review the show. So wherever you listen to it, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, iHeartRadio, go to rate and review page and rate and review the show, because the more reviews the show gets, the more it helps spread the word. And as we all know, Ra's al Ghul said that word is panic. So for Anthony, I am Ryan. Until next time, read my Batman comics.